WHA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hello, Bride. We would like to invite you to SheNet Global's 2017 convention in Atlanta, Georgia. Hear Dr. Judy and Ms. Magda talk about it. In the kingdom. Talk, the original state show, challenges the bride to take our temples back, gain self-control, and be all that God wrote in your book. Give God the pen and live your original state. Hello, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. Jean Knight, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, Greater Nashville, Tennessee, and Mount Pleasant. I am so happy to be with you tonight. Listen, we just got out of the Christmas season. Now we're going into the new year. Bride, happy new year. Look, we have been on this broadcast together for 2 years already. Can you believe it? We have highlighted over 250 ministers across the world. What an honor. We give God all of the glory and praise. So check out all of our ministers on WATBRadio.com. We're also on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter at WATB Radio. Listen, Bride, tonight we have the honor to host a local pastor. I'm so honored to host Pastor David Ward. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Dr. Knight. I'm doing great. I'm blessed and honored to be here with you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, I am so excited. Yeah. Listen, Bride, I visited his church. He has got the cutest church. It's called Allensville Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant. Now, Pastor, before we get started with hearing how God took you from nothing and made you into something, I would like to share with the bride your bio. Here we go, Bride. He has been married to Jennifer Ward for 18 years. He achieved a BA in business management from Coastal Carolina University in 1995. He has been preaching as an evangelical preacher since 1997. He was licensed to preach on March 17, 2010, and ordained on the 24th of February, 2013, by the First Family Baptist Church of Columbia, Tennessee. He has been the pastor at Allensville Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant since June the 24th of 2012, where the church has grown from an average worship attendance of 30 to the current average of 65. Jesus Christ has saved 45 souls for baptism since he has been the pastor at Allensville. He has preached in many areas in the southeastern part of the United States as well as in Iraq and Kuwait. He is a combat veteran who is deployed to Iraq from 2007 to 2008. During that time frame, he started a church which led to countless lives being saved. He preached to Muslims who were converted to Christianity and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. We have multinational members of our church to include countless countries such as Iraq, Kuwait, Egypt, Sri Lanka, and the United States, Philippines, Kenya, and Uganda. The church which started on his deployment in August of 2007 lasted through the end of Iraqi freedom in December of 2011. He started with 5 members and the church grew to 80-plus members strong from the time he began to the end of the war. He has worked for 20 years with the federal government in Nashville. He has also served in the U.S. Army for the last 31 years and is currently a chief warrant officer for in the Tennessee Army National Guard. He has been born to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the masses, and it is a blessing to do so. Yay! What an amazing story.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, now let me ask you this, Pastor. Was your father in the military, or are you the first generation military?
Well, he was not. My grandfather McGee was in World War One.
Wow.
Fought France, yes, and my grandfather fought Papa R.C. Coleman, the Sergeant Coleman. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. He fought in World War Two
with
Patton, and that's why I went in the Army, because of those two fine gentlemen.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes,
and
amen.
Now I've got to ask you this. Hearing your story of being over in Iraq and how God used you to preach to Muslims and all the different nationalities and everything, I think about that versus where you're at now in Mount Pleasant. Most of y'all don't know Mount Pleasant. I know when I moved here, y'all are like, who is Mount Pleasant? But let me tell you about Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant is what I call like a sleepy community. Like, how would you describe it, Pastor? It's just a very small town.
Yeah, just a nice small town with loving people, just a lot of good people that love the Lord, and there's lost there that are getting saved. So it's a beautiful little place about 60 miles outside of south of Nashville.
Yes, but it is, the demographic here, though, is we don't have very many nationalities, though, right?
No, right, absolutely.
Yeah. So God has really blessed you to bring you here, and look, you started out, and your church has already doubled since you've been here. Amen.
Amen, amen. We give the credit to Jesus Christ, amen. He's moving in a special way right now. Amen.
Yes. Now, I want to ask you about your wife. You said you've been married to your wife for 18 years. She has been with you here a lot, huh?
Yes, she has. She's my rock, her and Jesus first, of course. But she, we met actually in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, when I got out of active duty and then went into the guard to go to college. And I was at church one Sunday, and a deacon brought her up to me and said, do you mind her sitting here? I said, I do not mind.
Pastor, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Can you still hear me?
Okay, yes, but can you go back to a little bit ago?
Yeah. My wife and I, Jennifer, met. We met in Myrtle Beach, and
yes.
We were at church in Myrtle Beach, and a deacon brought her up and asked if she could sit beside me, and I said, sure. And what a blessing that was. A divine connection by Jesus, and we've been together ever since. What a blessing that's been. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I'm blessed to have her
awesome.
As my wife. Yes,
aww.
She's awesome.
Well, let me ask you this. Thinking about you in the military and about your time with the Lord, what was that thing in your life that actually drew you to the Lord where you knew that you had a calling on your life? How old was you?
Well, he started working on my life early, like we said, around 97. People would ask me to speak, and I would speak in a lot of different places wherever I was at, and in military duty or in different churches when I was off duty in the military and different parts of the nation and world. And then really in 2007, when he called me into the ministry to be a pastor, and when he showed me that, I was in Iraq. I had just gotten there, and I went to a service before we really went into a combat mode. And right when I got there, a Navy chaplain was preaching, and he said, "You know, sometime the Lord will bring you in a dark desert, deserted, sandy, hot area to bless you, so you will find your true calling." And believe me, sister, at 126 degrees, I found my calling quickly. I was blessed right off the bat to hear that.
Wow.
So he was talking to me that day at that service. What a blessing that was.
Oh.
Yes.
That is a blessing. Now, Pastor, if you don't mind being transparent with the church a little bit, a lot of people do not understand what pastors really go through. I mean, they look at them. It's a lot of expectancy upon pastors, you know, like the church has put them in a box and they expect them to act a certain way and look a certain way and talk a certain way. How do you overcome that as a pastor, like trying to keep your own self?
Right. That's a great question. Really, it's something each individual pastor has to go through it himself with Jesus. After you're called, and the calling, when you accept that call, I ran it first, but when I knew it was time, like I said, I knew it was time. So I committed my life to Jesus, and I said, "Lord, just lead me." And so I've trusted him all along. But the main thing is just to be yourself. And there's a lot of times when I use Psalm 46:10, "Be still and just know I'm God." And like David, I just know he's God. So I relate to my people. I know it's I'm not to ever complain to God about my people. I pray for them, good and bad, and I love them all. But initially, the first 3 or 4 months as a pastor was very difficult to get into the balance of my whole life as a pastor, as a new pastor in that, first year. But once I got into being a pastor, the more you serve at your church, the more you deal with people. I really had it kind of rough because, being honest, I had to deal with some pretty rough characters initially, and God toughened me up through them because he taught me to stand right off the bat. And the military training, the discipline, really helped me because it was really Jesus working through past experiences in my life in a present time when I had to deal with roughness right off the bat. So that was God preparing me, I knew, for a blessing on down the road. So I learned through that, Dr. Knight, to really just be myself, to be who Jesus made me, and to love my people and just stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Well, Brian, when I visited his church, I know you had a special service that day when we just decided at the last minute to come visit. But there was a youth up there preaching, and I was sitting there looking at him thinking, "Lord, thank you so much for this pastor, because he gives his congregation the pulpit. You know, he allows them to grow up and mature in Christ and be able to express their calling." I mean, this boy was, what, 15 years old or something?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that out of you as a pastor, that you allow him to do that.
Amen, because we can't be insecure in the pulpit. We have to be secure in Christ. And there was two different young men that day. Will Dunneback was the young man you talked about just then, and then the one after him, Weatherford. Will said he feels the Lord working in his life to preach. He's saved already. And then Kane has just talked to me today and told me he's accepted the call to preach since that day you were there. He's preaching for me. And I'm having military duty on the 8th of January at my church. He's filling in for me that morning already So from that day when you were there, he's already announced his calling, like today, actually. What a blessing that has been.
I think that's just amazing.
That's Jesus. You know, that's not me. That's him. He gets the credit.
Yes, yes. Amen to that. Now, Pastor, I'm going to kind of shift it a little bit and go to the nation. You are a man that has served our country for 30 years, and now you're still serving.
Right.
What do you think? I know your sermon's probably going to be about 2017, but what do you feel in your heart? I'm not talking as a pastor, but I'm just talking as a serviceman. What do you think about our country with where the military's going and having Donald Trump in there? And I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, my thinking is that God put the right...
Pastor, you're breaking up again.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. Yes. I feel, Dr. Knight, that we are in a good position now because the Lord allowed Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States for a reason that I don't believe there's no coincidences in life. And I know he's the right man for the job. He in the past he made mistakes, but I voted for the man who would be best for our country that I feel like God has put there to really turn our country around. I feel like he will support our military. He knows biblically the importance of Israel, that we support and pray for Israel.
Yeah.
And he knows that, and he has sought godly counsel from great ministers. And the Lord, Jensen Franklin, is on his staff helping him, behind the scenes helping him. I know that's one very good pastor down from Georgia. He's awesome. And I know that Donald Trump will turn things around biblically. The things that before have been going on over the last 8 years will change in the future because I think he will support us. He'll take our country back to basics in God We Trust. 2 days ago, he said, I'm going to announce this from Wisconsin. Merry Christmas and God bless America.
I loved it, Pastor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
But, hey, that's where we're at, sister. We're headed in the right direction, and we are blessed. We are blessed.
Yes, I put it on
He's supporting
my
our military.
I was like, how great is it to have a president say, Merry Christmas?
Amen. Amen. That's a good sign for the future.
It really is. And, you know, I was driving from Atlanta, Georgia, a week or so ago, and there was a big banner that said Trump, really big, and it said, please pray for America. And on the other side, it said, make America great again. I'm like, what? The president wants us to pray. It's like we have hit the mother lode. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Thank you,
I
Jesus.
Do.
But I want to ask you, though, just so the bride understands from a military person's point of view, because my brother is military, and I know y'all see things different because you have been in the battle. You have been over there. You know the truth.
Yeah.
How is it in the military as a Christian under a president that did not support the military? I mean, like, does that make y'all feel disenfranchised? Or, I mean, like, what are y'all thinking?
Well, really? And you'll get this, Dr. Knight. It has brought us closer to the Lord. It has allowed us to realize we need each other now more than ever. It has taught us not to be complacent. And it has taught us things that Fox won't show you, that CNN or NBC won't show you, or ABC. But what Jesus shows us is the fact that when we have been in, even through this administration, there's still right now more Muslims getting saved today than ever. Right now, because of the fact we know it's time to rise up for Jesus Christ now more than ever. So what has happened is we took that negative that you just mentioned and turned it into a positive and said we need Jesus more than ever. And we've passed that on to all our brothers, and we've seen actually more converts to Jesus Christ now more than ever in the military.
Wow, that is an amazing fact, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
That is awesome, and I've got to ask you, too, about there's been controversy over Trump's appointment of placing military generals in position in his cabinet. I think he's got, like, four ex-generals in there. People like you that have served and that understand the value of military, can you explain to us so people won't be scared? Like, why is it so great that he did that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be glad to, because our country is based on God first and then having strong people, and then strong people also who will rise up and fight when called. We don't like to have to fight, but we will, to protect our people, to protect our women, to protect our children, to protect our families. That's what we do. We protect each other because we love each other based on God's principles from Jesus Christ. So, therefore, by him doing that, by having the generals in place like he's done, that really is discipline. It will help us with self-control. That will actually allow us more to look at the individual in America to make sure when people do come in this country that we know who they are. They're not just coming in like a free-for-all, but we're watching, protecting, and we're mounting up for the future to serve Christ. And when you've got a soldier in battle that has been tested, and they won't stress out under hard times, but they'll mount up and be strong for Christ. And that is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Right, that's what I think, but I just wanted you to explain it from a military personnel standpoint.
Right.
And then another point is people have been in such a frenzy over the, putting the wall up. Why is it important that we do that?
Well, it's important because I have been down to the Mexican border, and that a lot of those areas, Nogales and different areas down there from California to Arizona, Nevada, and I have seen those borders down there. And really, it's just a little fence that you can just climb under or climb over, literally like a fence in a ballpark, and it's ridiculous. And anybody can just walk into our country, and the Border Patrol has been basically handcuffed, not allowed to do their job. So to answer the first question, that's a strong reason why, for the future, to keep the drug cartels out, you need strong military people in place to set discipline from the White House and allow each state to allow their law enforcement to do their job. To allow the governor to do his job, from the National Guard to the State Department, all the way up to Department of Defense and the Pentagon. So having people that have had that background, they're not there to cause war. They're there to keep us from going to war. But then if we ever had to go to war, we'll be safe. And then the wall is there to protect us. That is to literally keep us secure, to keep the drug cartels out, to keep all of the negative individuals coming in. If you have ever been down there or had the opportunity, you would see if the type of people go in. You know, if you think about it, in America right now, the people that are from Mexico that are here legally, they don't like illegal people coming in their country, because this is their America now, and they're here legally. They have been checked from a security standpoint, and they're safe and secure, and they're good American people like us, and they don't want illegal people in here either. So they literally voted for Trump. A lot of Cubans down in Florida voted for Trump because they want that wall to protect us and to protect our children on into the future.
Right. Well, thank you so much for answering those questions, and I'm going to ask you one more question about the nation, and then we'll take a commercial break and come back and allow you to release the word that God has given you. Okay, now, I ask almost every pastor that I have on this broadcast this question, and I would love to hear your answer. Okay, talking specifically to the bride in America, with all the things that are going on in the nation, you know, we just had the vote, the big upheaval over them trying to overturn Trump on the delegates and all this, and the division that's in the nation, the division that's in the bride right now, what would you say to the bride in America, whether it be a word of encouragement, rebuke, or what? What would you say to her?
Right now I would say to literally, if someone is 5 foot in front of you or even closer, invite them to church. The church will stand. The church will stand the test of time. The church is where our people need to be. So many people today find excuses not to be at church. But when we can get those back in our church, that's where we need to be, serving Christ in a way that will just bring revival back into our country, to be excited about church, to know that Jesus is preached in our church. There's good people in our church that want to see many lives saved. And my goal in life, like I tell our people at Allensville, I just want to see as many people as possible go to heaven, because Jesus Christ is the only way, and we know that. So I don't want to see anybody go to hell, and hell is true and it's real. So my encouragement is seek Jesus, put him first, and witness to those that you care most about, and even a stranger. Let them know about Jesus and what he's done for you in your life. How refreshing that is to see another life saved for Christ.
Well, Pastor, let me ask you this. I can just feel that somebody out there is thinking this right now. What would you say to the people out there that have been hurt by the church, that don't want to go to church because they've been hurt? What would you say to those that are listening to broadcast right now?
I would tell them to just seek out someone, even myself. Look me up on Facebook, and I'll be glad to talk to you. Or seek someone in their community that they respect, that they can talk to, maybe someone they've grown up with, that they know that goes to church, that they know that enjoys their church. They can just talk to them offline and say, what is it that you do that you can stay in your church and enjoy it? Because what I would tell them,
that's good.
You know, what is it that you do? Give me some advice. How do you stay at your church for 10, 15 years and enjoy it and just stay there when other people leave? What is it about you? Why are you there? And that's one thing. And another thing is the fact that, why not go to church? Wherever you go, wherever you're at in society, there's good and bad. And the devil, of course, we know is going to try to get into the church any way he can, because that is where it's at. That's where life evolves. That's where life really begins, and that's where we grow in the church. So my advice is to just simply pray in your own way to Jesus and say, Lord, lead me where you would like me to go. Show me, Lord, and if they'll keep praying, he'll bring them where he wants them so they could be at maximal potential for him. And if they're saved, they could be rejuvenated. They can rededicate their life to him and let Jesus lead you to a church. Ask Jesus to lead you to the right person that you can talk to, that you can pray with, that'll help you get into a Bible-based church that serves Jesus Christ and puts his word first and foremost in their lives.
Good word, Pastor. Okay, we're going to take
Jesus.
A quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear what God has to say through you. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. ministry that is not reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Vision Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
All right, Brad, we're back. We are about to hear from Pastor David Ward himself. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Knight, it's been such an awesome pleasure talking to you tonight. And before we start,
yes,
I just want to sit up with strong. And then as we pray, we'll look to the Word of God, and then we'll let Him move in a special way tonight and touch someone out there that really needs His Word and His love.
Yes.
Dear Father, we just thank you for this day, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given
us.
What a day it is that we'll rejoice in you. We'll be glad in you. It's a day of new beginnings for many people, God. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your life, Jesus. Thank you for being with us here tonight, Father. When we get in an attitude of gratitude, things happen. Power comes up, and power stays with us, God. And you give us strength to endure, to rise for you above Satan and put him back to hell where he belongs. And we just thank you for being our Father, Jesus. And we love you, Jesus. In your name and will we pray, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now, tonight, we are looking forward into the future, sister. And at the same time, I want to just simply talk about Luke 2 when Jesus was born and point out some things someone out there has never thought of. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start at Luke 2, 1 through 20, very simple. And I want to read about Jesus' birth, the fact that starting off that he's glory in the highest here on earth. When he was born humble in an inn, but he wasn't in the inn. He was behind the inn, but he was born in a little manger. What a blessed child he was. And in Luke 2, verse 1, it says this, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Right there, that very moment, was born the bread of life. The bread of life came down. Bethlehem means house of bread. What a blessing to be given by Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to know that bread came down from heaven to feed us. Spirit, that beautiful spirit of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
And there, and thank you, Jesus, and there were in the same country shepherds. Let's think about that moment. Those humble shepherds that were way out working. They weren't in the city in leisure. They weren't in the city in loyalty. They were in the field. They were in the field, abiding in the field. And that same country, shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, can you imagine this? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord above, around about them, and they were sore afraid. Can you imagine how they felt? Those angels didn't go to kings and queens. They came to the shepherds. And why? because the shepherds would go and multiply the word of Christ to many, many, many people. They would bless many with the word of what they've seen. And the Lord sent those angels to those shepherds. And can you imagine how frightened they were? There hadn't been any word from God through any prophet for more than 400 years, not since the prophet Malachi. Can you imagine? And when it came, the word came through the angels from God to the shepherds, to those lowly shepherds. What
right,
a blessing.
Right.
Thank you, God, to those humble shepherds. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Isn't it amazing how Jesus, when he comes into our life, he gives us great joy. He doesn't give just a little bit. He gives it every day for as long as you shall live. And then while we live on this earth, on into eternity with Christ, where the real joy begins. And we thank you, Jesus, for this day. And when I think about joy, I think about Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And what a blessing it is to be humble like those shepherds, like Mary. What a blessing it is. And look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at that one more time. All people around the world shall know. Jesus doesn't just touch locally. He touches us in our heart. But he touches worldwide. He touches everywhere. He doesn't miss anything. He's a wonderful, beautiful Jesus Christ. What a blessing he is. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. See, Jesus was born humbly, wasn't he? He was born humbly, humbly as a child. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wouldn't you have loved to heard that? What a privilege those humble shepherds had. No other group but them, no other group but they ever saw and heard such proclamation. Can't you imagine how wonderful it'd be? I know me personally, Dr. Knight, I would have loved to have been there. How exciting.
Yes.
How wonderful, how beautiful. I mean, a Holy Ghost revival was happening right then. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move forward. Isn't it good to be in joy for Jesus? Isn't it good to know it's him that loves us and him that saves us and him that's always there with us all the time? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And as we look at verse 15, thank you, Lord, and it came to pass. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, now pay close attention what they did. We need to be like the shepherds. They said this, let us go now. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and seeth this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. See, they moved right then. And that's how we need to be, family. We need to move right now. We don't need to wait till next week when somebody says, I have a concern. When somebody says, I'm hurting, you need to pray right then. You don't need to wait till next week. You don't need to say like other people, well, I'll pray for you. No, pray right then. That's what I tell our people, and that's what we do on the sidewalks, in the highways, in the byways. We pray right then. Like the shepherds, what a blessing they were and they are to us still today. Look at verse 16. It says this, and they came with haste. That means they came right then. They dropped everything and came. So when Jesus calls you, drop everything and go. And if you'll listen, He'll tell you where to go. He will tell you right then what to do, where to go. You got a specific God. Aren't you glad you got a Jesus that is the great I am? Aren't you glad you got a Father that's second to none? We are on the winning team. Victory was won over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He taught them, even as a child, right there, to say, come, and they came. And he found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Look at what the word says there, y'all. Look at what the word says, family. It says they made known abroad. That not just anywhere, around the world. We want the world to know about Jesus Christ, because really, without him, there's nothing. But with him, you'll have all you'll ever need. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I say thank you, Jesus, because he's blessed me so. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm alive. We're breathing. We're talking. We're singing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. And they told the world about him. And look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. They stopped. They listened, they thought, they came to the Lord because of what they heard by the shepherds. Now, please pay close attention to verse 19 as we get another great lesson out of the Word of God. Verse 19 says this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, isn't that amazing? Think about this. Women, men, we all talk too much, don't we? But we can learn from young Mary, can't we? She pondered in her heart. She kept all these wondrous events in her heart. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ she gave birth to. He lay right before her in a manger. The great I am lay right before her in a manger. And she kept all these wondrous events in her heart. What a mature girl. Thank you, God, for Mary. What a mature girl. And think about this. Journalists, they try to be the first one to jabber and pass it around, don't they? We don't need to gossip. We need to be praising Jesus with every breath. Rather than keeping it all stirred up, we need to be keeping it all in our heart and ponder. At this time, how great a God we've got, like Mary. She wasn't like all these newscasters and journalists. She learned, she taught us a valuable lesson, and we learned that today. The most valuable lesson we learned from Mary is this. Think before talking. Think. Isn't it amazing how we can just simply pause in our life? We can halt in our life and say, I don't have to get too hungry. I don't have to get too angry. I don't have to get too lonely or too tired. I can rest in my Father. I can go to him in peace in my Father, and I can be still. And through that quiet time, we also learn when it's time to speak. And when it's time to stand, we know when that time is, because he tells us when to listen. And we learn that from Mary, and what we learn from Jesus is to stand and be bold when it's time to speak. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the discernment to know the difference. What a blessing it is to serve Jesus, Dr. Knight, right now tonight. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's hearing this and coming to Jesus. Somebody's feeling this right now. They're knowing what we're saying. They're coming to Jesus right now tonight. And we thank you, Father. And as we begin to move forward in our final verse and lift this sermon up to Jesus tonight, we look at verse 20. And we look at this and say, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it were told to them. This was real. And what's so good about this? What's so good about this? This great power of God, this great wisdom of God was known that day right then by those shepherds, and it was passed out around the world, and it's real. And what a blessing it is that we can
yes,
be
Lord.
Like shepherds. Thank you, Jesus, that we can believe. I'm so glad that they believed. I'm so glad that they went to see. They went to see Jesus. They stopped in the fields where they were at. And they went to see, and they verified what they'd been told by the heavenly ghost, by the heavenly host through those
yes.
angels. And then they glorified, and they praised God for all of it. They didn't hold nothing back. They gave everything they had for Jesus. And that's what we're called to do, to stand firm for our Father, to walk his way throughout our entire lifetime. And as we do that, oh, how sweeter the days get. Oh, how most beautiful the days get. Oh, how much heavenly those days are as they pass. Oh, we thank you, Father, because each day we're coming home. Each day we're coming closer. Each day we're seeing more people saved for Jesus Christ. But the most important part is this beautiful baby. That love was in that manger. It's when we get saved for that plan of salvation. And that red blood from Calvary sheds us white, just clears us white as snow.
Yes,
and then Lord. We give our life to Jesus. And through baptism, then next. And the world sees that. But the real moment is the day, the moment we give our life to Jesus through the plan of salvation, and we're at peace, just like that little baby. Just like Jesus, we learn to be humble. We learn
yes.
to be great. We learn to be thankful, but at the same time, we know in our heart there's so much power there. We've got so much to give. So what we do tonight is pass that love around. Thank you, Lord, for the love you've given us. And thank you, Lord, for that one child on that one night and all those beautiful shepherds and all those angels coming to the shepherds. And then that they pass the word around so the world will know about Christ. And that's what we do today. And think about Mary. Oh, beautiful Mary, sitting there, that young, mature girl, pondering everything in her heart. What wisdom, what maturity. And thank
yes.
you, God, you've given us that tonight. And we love you, Jesus. And as we move into 2017, we move into 2017, in God we trust, with a new president, with a new cabinet, with a new
yes.
staff, with a new foundation in Christ. In God we trust. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Dr. Knight, as we pray, let's thank the Lord for all the beautiful blessings of this day and for a great 2017.
Yes,
oh,
now,
Jesus,
let me ask you something before we pray,
yeah.
Pastor.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This is just flowing right along with what I'm hearing from other speakers because the Lord is telling the bride, we've got to obey the Lord. Like you was telling the bride when you was talking, you said, when the Lord tells you to do something, just do it.
Amen.
We've got to be in full obedience right now and to obey the Lord. And it is amazing when you think about Mary and you think about all that stuff. It is so amazing.
It is beautiful. It is.
It really is. Thank
it
you
is.
For your encouraging word tonight, Pastor. And look,
yeah.
all the people we have on the broadcast, we believe that God brought them on here for such a time as this because it's their time. Their time
Amen.
For promotion, their time for
Amen.
Acceleration. And the bride,
yeah.
we all pray and come
yeah.
together in agreement for every minister. So if you don't mind, we would love to have the honor to pray for you and to pray for your vision and your church and your mission.
Amen. Yeah.
All
yeah,
right, bride,
yeah.
if y'all would bow your head, here we go. Lord, we thank you so much for this pastor being on the broadcast with us tonight, Lord, sharing his heart with the bride, Lord, sharing the word that you have given him to the bride, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for his honorable service to our nation, Lord. Thank you for him giving his life for us, Lord, and we pray that you bless him. Lord, for the time that he served our nation, Lord. And, Father, we thank you for everything that you have done in that man's life, Lord, all of the trials and tribulations he's been through, the testings, the sifting. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought him out, that you have brought him to this place. You brought him to Mount Pleasant. You have blessed him, Lord, with a beautiful wife, Lord, that believes in him and walks beside him and helps him to express you and to love your people, Lord, that are sometimes hard to love. So, Lord, we pray for his wife, Lord. We pray you bless her, Lord. Give her all of her heart's desires, Lord, for the sacrifices that she makes for your people, Lord. People will never know what she puts up with as a pastor's wife. So, Lord, we just cover her in the blood of Jesus right now. We just pray a special blessing on her tonight, Lord. And, Lord, for Pastor, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the love that he has for your people, Lord. Giving him that supernatural love when sometimes people are hard to love, Lord. Thank you for giving that to him, Lord, and giving him more grace. And, Lord, we pray that you continue to download into him tools and strategies that he is going to need to finish the mission that you have called him to, Lord. Give him all the tools, all the money, the provision, the things that he needs. If he's wanting another building, give him another building, Lord. All of the things, Lord, there is nothing too small for you, Lord.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So we thank you, God, and give you praise for taking him to higher heights and deeper depths, Lord, and for downloading into him more revelation, Lord, and more ways, to, creative ways. I can tell by the way he preaches, he likes being creative. So give him more creative ways, Lord, to express your word and to express your love to the people, Lord. And me and him both, Lord, being that we both live here in Mount Pleasant, we come together in agreement over this city, that this city shall fulfill the destiny that you have lined up for her, that she shall fulfill the calling and the purpose that you meant for this city, and all the people within the city shall fulfill the destiny you have called them to, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling us here for such a time as this, Lord. May we rise as your people to the destiny that you have called us to rise to, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Pastor,
amen.
If you would please pray for our ministry and the bride, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this night. Thank you, Lord,
yes,
so much.
Lord.
Night, Lord. We love her, God. We just thank you, God, for the opportunity that she is here with us. There's no coincidences in life, Lord. You brought us here at this special time and place,
yes,
all of us together, centrally located in Tennessee, one of the most beautiful states in the nation, one of the most beautiful places on earth. And you brought,
yes,
us here together to praise you, Jesus. You brought us,
yes,
here together,
Lord,
to be a blessing to many people, God. Expand her territory, God. Give her,
yes,
new equipment, Lord. Bless her, God, abundantly, Lord. God, you said, Jesus, you say in John 10:10, I have come, not just to come, but to give you life, but to give you life and give it abundantly. So
yes,
bless my sister, God. Let her voice be heard around the world, Lord, and let her touch,
yes,
many people. Let many people come to Jesus through her and many other ministers that she works with, like she's worked with me tonight. What a blessing this is, Father. You're using her in a special way here in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Bless her broadcast. Bless her broadcast company. Bless everything she's doing, from literature to books, to on the air, to her ministry. God, just bless her, Lord, from A to Z. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Jesus. And we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. We pray, God, a special blessing over her. Put angels on every perimeter around her. And bless her, Jesus, like you've touched her heart. Bless her life, God, abundantly like never before in every way. The finances will come. The blessings will come. The
thank
people
you,
will
Lord.
Be there. Everybody, Lord, she needs will be there. And we just thank
yes,
you, Jesus,
Lord,
loving you like only you can. In your name will we pray, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor, if you don't mind praying for the bride.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just pray for the bride, God. We just pray for the bride, Lord. We just pray, Lord,
yes,
lift her
Lord.
Up. The bride of Christ, God. We just pray, Lord, for the church. We pray, Lord,
yes,
for the bride, for that ultimate meeting one day, God. Thank you, Lord, for the bride, Lord, that you come home one day. You're here with
yes,
us, Lord. We pray for the bride, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for that bride, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that the bride is alive and well, and we thank you so much for Dr. Knight bringing that out, Lord, and just literally and not being ashamed, but praising your name, God, and thank you for the bride of Christ, Lord, and thank you for this day, Jesus, and thank you for the ultimate blessings of this day, Lord. Bless the bride, that the bride be a light, God, a light that'll shine around the world, Lord. And we thank you, God, that it begins with you, Jesus, because you're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Thank you, Lord, that it's about you and not us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Will we pray powerfully, Lord? Amen.
Amen. Well, sir, you have a wonderful night. God bless you.
You too. God bless you, Dr. Knight. We love you, and take care, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.